This is Bob Rule, owner of KPIN Radio. You're about to hear a recording which was made at 11 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, February 27, 2007, with Randy Johnson, the executive director of the Sublette County Rural Healthcare District, in an interview which was conducted in the KPIN studio here in Pinedale. We apologize for the crackly sound. We did have a technical problem in making the recording, but I think if you listen carefully, you'll be able to understand it.
Ago, I guess, the board that was currently sitting at that time had made the decision that they felt like they wanted to step out of the day-to-day operations role.
I felt that the district had grown to such a point that they really needed to bring somebody in to help. At the time, was described as a fence around a whirlwind.
Well, you got quite a job.
Indeed. And so they did a national search. I was lucky enough to come in and take the position. At the time, when I first came to Pinedale, I remember very distinctly meeting many, many people here in this community and really getting my feet wet. And I think to a person, when they met me, they looked at me and said, "You're either the bravest or the dumbest guy I've ever known."
Or maybe both.
Maybe both. Jury's probably still out on that, I think.
But, where did you come in from? Where were you before you came
here? Actually, I have been, I'm a product of Utah, so now I guess that's out. I understand, I learned early on that here in Wyoming you don't really say that very quickly. And,
well, what you don't say very quickly is I'm from California.
Ah, there you go, yeah, exactly. No.
Utah is mountainous western United States.
Yeah, yes, some great skiing there as well. Have run or built organizations for the biggest part of my career. That idea of put the fence around a whirlwind really was fit the job description quite well. Building an organization, putting policies and procedures, putting structure on it, getting the right people in the right places, doing the right jobs. That's basically what I've been doing for the last 25 years or so.
Well, Randy, a lot of people that are new to this area still don't quite understand our structure. You hear the word rural health care district. It sounds to me like you must send a traveling nurse 20 miles beyond Myrna to take care of some lady who snowed in who needs medical attention. What is the rural health care district?
That's a government-designated unit, basically, sub-governmental. It's the same contiguous area as the county boundaries.
So Pinedale itself is rural.
Oh, yeah. Sublette County itself, actually, is not just rural. There used to be a federal designation called Frontier, which was even more sparsely populated than rural. It defined as one or six people per square mile. In whatever the area was that we're talking about. And they've done away with that, but we certainly are a frontier area.
So we could have been the Sublette County Frontier Healthcare System.
Could have.
Yeah, the old nomenclature.
Yeah, if that didn't exist, that's correct.
But that includes Pinedale, Marbleton, and, of course, the two clinics.
Right.
And so when people have a beef about a clinic, hey, you're the dude.
Yes, I would say that's, yeah, that's accurate.
Usual hamburger terminology there. Well, I'll tell you what, one reason I invited you to come on is a newly formed organization called Sublette Healthcare Coalition, recently formed to address some concerns about healthcare. We have Cindy Van on, their founder and organizer.
She did a good job,
I think. And I thought she did very, very well. I went to the meeting, and I was thinking the meeting might have been a big, giant gripe session where it's all gripe, no direction to a solution. But I found it was mostly looking for solutions. That's for the mostly. Okay. The problem was summarized pretty simple. We've got fewer healthcare providers, we've got more people. We've got a problem. I mean, that's the short version of the meeting. We've got more people in the county, we've got fewer doctors, and therefore we have.
Well said.
So that's not something that can't be fixed. First of all, let's talk just a moment about this healthcare coalition that was recently formed. Is the healthcare coalition and the rural healthcare district kind of at each other's throat? Is it a complementary relation? How does it work? I mean, you guys get along with it.
Thank you. Cindy and I are friends. She's been in my office. We've had lunch together. We've been talking about this now for actually quite some time, many, many months. There are some, it's my understanding, in the coalition who have an off-with-their-heads attitude, but I think that's going away. The leadership basically are very concerned with one thing, and that is to get the concerns, to get the problems that we just mentioned, to the attention of the board. We're all looking for a vehicle, basically, to get those issues directly to the board, have them... Because the board really is the authority. They're the ones who are charged with making sure that these problems are handled.
Now, when the meeting opened up, Cindy Van had some of the initial questions were, what does it take to impeach a health care board member?
It started out on that tone.
The off-with-their-heads type of approach. And apparently the answer to that was, unless the health care board member is guilty of a criminal act, there is no provision.
Well, that's correct. For the technicalities of impeachment, that's probably quite true. What can be done, if we wanted to go in that direction, I guess, is that there is a single provision in the bylaws for removing a board member, and that is simply that the other members of the board vote unanimously to remove that individual.
Okay, so the board can remove one of itself.
Right, but impeachment, as you mentioned a moment ago, is actually a citizen-initiated action, and there is nothing.
And there's no provision for that at all. But the thing that I was starting to hear is I was hearing complaints of board members treating the public as if they were dirt. That's kind of how the meeting started out. And I came up with the idea. I said, well, then maybe one of the goals of this organization, and I threw this idea out, is that we need to work on the attitude of does the board serve the public, or is the board king and the public is the servant? And that's, let's figure out if we got the cart before the horse or vice versa.
Well, the only response that I can have to that is that certainly government, any government agency, doesn't make any difference. We could be talking about the commission. We could be talking about the governor's office, AG, anybody out there. Literally, the democratic process provides for the fact that we are the servants of the people. And the board knows that. I can guarantee you that. I've spoken with each of them independently about this. They very much heard that.
Okay, now I personally have not had a clash with them. So I mean, this is what I'm observing from Cindy's meeting. And this apparently was one of the major, major concerns about how it's going to meet with the servant-slave type of relationship. Who's king? Who's who? And I think that maybe, at least if that's been brought above the surface and recognized as a problem, maybe we can move forward from there. And this is what I'm thinking the healthcare coalition can actually do. Not just in healthcare, but I've seen in so many political areas, if one person jumps on his horse and goes to Washington, D.C. and sits down with Mike Enzi, yeah, Mike will listen to that one person. But tell you what, if that one person gathers together 14 similar-minded persons that all have the same concern about an idea, form a group, elect a spokesman, and send the spokesman to Washington, D.C. on a horse, now Mike Enzi is talking to a group that maybe it's a woke coalition or something, whatever it is. The idea being is a lot of times the government leaders are more likely to sit down and discuss the matter with somebody who's already researched it, studied it, talked to other people, come to consensus, than just one lone individual. And it looks to me like, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but it looks to me like there's a real benefit here that the newly formed healthcare coalition can be that organization, meet with the people, address some of the needs, come up with maybe one or two items that they would like the board to consider, have it well researched and presented in a very well laid out manner before the board. I would think this would be something the board would welcome.
Absolutely agree, Bob. I mean, nicely stated. Anytime that you have a grassroots, I see this as a grassroots political action committee that might have a bad taste in some people's mouth, but quite frankly, this is a committee whose goal is political action, and they're here in town. They've grown up basically from the citizenry. It's a grassroots political action committee, and very much they want to be the vehicle to get these concerns into the board's attention. And this is a good way to do it.
Well, wait, I'll tell you what. One thing that came up in the Healthcare Coalition meeting was a little bit of talk about Kip Boone, and not everybody knew who Kip Boone was or why he came here or what he's going to do. Why don't you tell us about Kip Boone?
Kip Boone, yeah. I think we've done pretty much everything except write Kip Boone is coming in letters the size of the Hollywood sign in Southern California to set this guy up. He's got a lot on his shoulders, but I think one of the things, Bob, when you meet him, one of the first things you'll see is those are pretty broad shoulders. This is a man who has got a tremendous amount of experience in clinic administration. He has years and years of training, the experience, as I mentioned, he has seen it all and done it and has got the business practices in place. He also knows this area really, really well, currently is living in, working in Western Maryland, living in West Virginia. But don't mistake him for an Easterner or a Midwesterner. This is a guy who knows the area.
Now, what is Kip Boone going to do?
He is hired as the administrator, which means that the whole purview is to get the business of the clinics on track, working, the process is in place, everything that needs to be done to make this a working and running concern.
What about EMTs, ambulance service? Is he over the ambulance service?
No, there's been no talk about that at this point. He will serve a leadership role district-wide. There's no question about that. The Division of Labor has yet to be completed, be formalized.
So his main area of responsibility is the Marbleton Clinic and the Pinegate Clinic.
That's the major area right now, yeah.
Okay, speaking of which, there's a lot of construction going on up on the hill by the Pinedale Clinic. What is happening up there with all those iron beams?
You drive past there every day.
I go by there. Here's what I can't get over. I told them this at the Healthcare Coalition meeting. You can't believe, like, one out of three times when I go home at night, there is, like, a sheriff's deputy up there. There's three cars. The lights are all on, sometimes an ambulance. And I think, wow, these poor employees, sometimes, you know, two, three times in the night, called up there for an emergency and then back to work in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Because of the growth of population, there is a huge call, an increase in the call volume. But back to the clinic.
Yeah, but they're building something.
Yes, we have a new clinic that is being constructed right now. Last year, the board was sitting at that time, approved funds to build a new clinic in Pinedale. It'll be just a little bit over 14,000 square feet, a brand new structure that is going to have a state-of-the-art urgent care facility and enough offices. This is the best, for me, this is the best part. Enough offices and exam rooms to not only handle the staff that we have on staff, but also visiting staff that comes in, the orthopods, the urologists, the people that come to visit, and without having to step all over each other.
Wow, okay. Now, what happens to the old clinic?
Still going to be, the plans right now are to be remodeled. Public health is going to stay there. The sanitarium is going to stay there. We'll move. We have some office space that we're renting now, and so we'll move business personnel, administrative personnel. And then the plan at this point is to hold the board meetings there as well, rather than have them in the commissioner's room. I'm not sure that won't change, but right now it'll be turned over into office space.
All right. So when do they expect to have that finished?
We are scheduled to take possession of that in November of this year.
Okay, so they'll be working all through the summer.
Yeah, they're moving on. I can't believe how much steel they put up already.
Yeah, with all the snow going on.
Yeah.
All right, now, will there be people up there living there at night? Will there be living facilities? Will we still have the problem that you have to call the on-call person and dig them out of bed and send them up? How is that going to work once it all?
Well, there really isn't. There's observation rooms if we need to have that for some of the patients. There's always going to be a place where if someone really needs to stay there in the night for observation or something like that. But we're trying really hard to make sure that the people who are on call can stay at home. They have to be called out. They're called out from a place they're familiar
with. So we're not at the point of having a 24-hour staff clinic yet?
No, we're not.
I think we're not big enough.
Yeah, I'd say, although our call volume is probably knocking on the door, we're not there yet.
Right, but we could be headed there.
We could be.
All right, well, let's talk about finances. This is another subject brought up at the Healthcare Coalition. Questions about financial statements, or specifically lack of them. Can you address that?
Well, one of the things that was has been very concerned, that citizens have been very concerned about, is a statement was made in a board meeting last, I believe it was on the 14th of February, that we don't know where we are. True, somewhat less true. Any corporation the size of ours, a government entity or corporation, doesn't make any difference. It's got at least two major areas of finances that they have to be concerned with. One is the reserves. What have you got? What have you got in the bank? What have you got out there? The other is your income and expenses, especially where we have businesses like the clinics that we're running. We need to know what's coming in, what's been billed, what's on the books, what expenses are out there, and have essentially a profit loss statement. As far as the reserves are concerned, yes, we can tell you exactly how much there is in the bank. We know exactly what the mill levy is. We know where it is. Lorraine Gatsky, our CFO, has got an excellent handle on that piece.
Now, is this public information that anybody can go look at?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, yeah, that's, yep.
How would somebody go about looking at it?
Call me.
Call Randy Johnson.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your phone number. Don't call him right now.
I'm over here.
What is your phone number?
It is 367-2099.
That's
the office.
99. Okay.
099. And the chances are pretty good that I will put you in touch with our CFO, but at this point, probably ought to initiate the conversation with me.
All right, Taylor, we have one of our listeners wanted to ask a question. Where are we with contracts with the doctors that don't have contracts?
That's a good question. The doctors don't have contracts. You already heard that on from the coalition side, as well as read it in the paper. But the board has made a promise that all of the practicing physicians in the county will be offered, extended, a contract to work with the district. Where are we on that? There are some standard provisions that we have worked out with other physicians that have recently come in that we want to put out there so that everybody has got essentially the same playing field. We're all having the same expectations of the workplace, et cetera. But there's also some language that, coming back to Kip Boone, that Kip has brought with him contracts and with physicians that he has used elsewhere in the country that are pretty standard provisions, but they're also fairly complex about who they can see and the ability that they have to not see people under certain circumstances, and essentially tightening up the contracts that we have used in the past. We are, as a matter of fact, as soon as you and I are done, Bob, he and I are going to pick this up again. We've been working on it this morning and getting those together so we can get them out to an attorney for review. Once we get those templates back, then they will be sent out to the people that we promised they'd be sent out to.
Okay, thanks. Let me take a look at another question here. I'm looking at some emails that came in.
Mm-hmm.
Please ask Randy Johnson if Dr. Boyle's Medicare patients' claims have been submitted, and if not, why not, and when will it happen? This person says, my understanding is they'll be rejected after 1 year.
Great question. The answer is no. Since July 1st, we have not been able to submit any of Dr. Boyle's Medicare claims. The information that person has is a little bit incorrect. Medicare is that's such an interesting animal and convoluted as all federal agencies like to be, but specifically if it's submitted in a certain month, for example in September, then we have 18 months from the date of service to be able to submit those and have them be considered. If it's July, then it's 15 months. So the minimum that we have actually is 15 months from the date of service before those would be automatically rejected. Why hasn't it been done? I can tell you that right now that the paperwork has been submitted numerous times and comes back because of something either on our end that wasn't correct or on their end that wasn't correct, and currently has been resubmitted and re-resubmitted. I happen to know that it is in their hands right now, and we're waiting to hear back whether or not we got it right.
Sounds like submitting a form to the federal government for just about anything.
Well, I got to tell you, the short form here is 34 pages long.
And that's a short form.
And that's a short form. It's ridiculous. But that's, people are going to see that as well. Randy, you're making excuses. Maybe not. But that is the process.
But a key point here is submitted and kicked back. It's not that you just sat around and did nothing.
Well, and that is a key point. Absolutely not. In fact, we've got really good staff on this kind of stuff.
All right, another question here. Somebody asked me to ask you about reminding people about the upcoming healthcare meeting, Wednesday, 28th, 7 p.m. in Marbleton. Now, are we talking coalition or is that board?
No, that's board meeting. Board meeting is 7 p.m. in the town hall in Marbleton, our regular meeting place.
All right, now do you alternate back and forth?
We do, actually, yeah. Two meetings in each place, and so this will be the first one in Marbleton, and then the next one will be in Marbleton, and after that we'll go back to find out.
And basically anybody that wants to can walk in, sit down, have a seat.
Absolutely.
Watch if they want to participate. What does the person have to do to speak?
There are two ways you can do that. It's a good question. I handle the agenda. If there is someone who wants to be on the agenda, they want formalized time, give me a call. Again, 367-2099. And I will get them on the agenda. I'll ask. I can ask their name and their affiliation. I would appreciate if I have a little bit of a heads up about what they want to talk about. But that way, I can get it on the agenda. The agenda closes the week before the meeting.
Oh, okay.
And so, if it's the 28th, then that agenda has already been set, obviously. So call me at least a week ahead of time. Otherwise, there's a public comments section in every one of these meetings wherein the individual can raise their hand and will be recognized by the chair of the board and will have an opportunity to speak then.
Okay, another possibility, of course, is these people could attend the healthcare coalition meeting and submit their either grievance or suggestion or constructive step forward idea, whatever it may be to them, let it be consolidated with others, and that's another way to do it indirectly. Maybe a little less threatening and less intimidating to some people.
Yeah, maybe.
Get it that way.
Nobody really likes public speaking, I'm told.
All right. Short-term, long-term visions for the healthcare in this county. Let's talk about short-term right now, because it seems like right now the problem is too many people, not enough doctors.
But right.
Where are we at? What can we do about it?
Actively recruiting. As we've mentioned before, we have Dr. Kaffenman that you have already heard tell about. Just an excellent doctor, an excellent man in his own right. We have another doctor who is looking at us really closely. He's not signed yet, so it's not appropriate for me to put his name out there yet, but a family practice physician is board certified, has a tremendous experience in ER, and a leader, and someone who will come and really wants to work with us. And in fact, again, coming back to Kip Boone, he and I have had these conversations the last couple of days about recruiting. Where do we go? How do we get them? How can we use it? He brings a wealth of resources already. So we're going to plug into some of those resources and get the people here that we need.
All right, long-term visions. I know people keep asking the question, are we ever going to see a hospital? We're the only county in Wyoming without a hospital. My personal question would have been, don't we need a 24-hour urgent care center long before we try to build a hospital? So let's talk about, will we see the day down the road that we have a really nice kind of first aid station, 24-hour staff emergency care center, and then even further, is hospital even on the drawing board?
You know, that's such an excellent question. A little bit of the history. One of the things that we did when I first got here 2 years ago, is try to assess whether the county was ready to support a single facility. And you might recall a couple of years ago
the Daniel idea of let's put one in Daniel, it's central, and yet on the other hand it leaves the South County with a very long ambulance run during, what do they call it, golden half hour or whatever it is?
The golden hour, yeah.
The golden hour, where you've got a very limited amount of time to get that first ambulance facility. And I think that was the complaint I heard mostly from the South County, is that that's a pretty, for Pinedale maybe not too bad, but for the South County, a pretty decent sized trip to get them into a facility. Maybe we need a first aid station at both ends of the county. What? You're the guy I should be talking about. I'm just babbling, throwing out ideas.
Well, what came of that, essentially, and you already know this, is that the county basically said, no, we have two clinics, we have two ends of the county, we've got two population centers, we want two clinics. And so the board that was sitting at that time heard that very clearly, and as a result, you have this deal that we were just talking about, erected for a new clinic in Pinedale. As a matter of fact, there's a community group that has been organized to lay out the site layout for the Marbleton Clinic, that will be built very shortly as well. And so we're moving in the direction of putting two new facilities at each end of the county to service the population there. Whether it makes sense to have a centralized 24/7 emergency room and staff it with those people, and essentially have clinics on either end of the county. That's not something that I can answer. That's not up to me. I know that there's a lot of support for that idea.
Well, a lot of times we call the Big Piney area the South County, and we call Pinedale the North County, which confused me when I came here, because I thought of Pinedale as the Central County and Bondurant as the North County.
Exactly.
What do people in Bondurant do when they have a medical emergency?
Depends, I think, on the time of the year. Most of the time, they are more connected to Jackson because it's a shorter drive, even though you've got the canyon to deal with. But here in the wintertime, it seems to make, I honestly believe that if there were a facility that was in, or located more centrally, either Daniel or someplace, then they would probably want to travel here, want to travel in this direction.
Now, if they need an ambulance in Bondurant, does the ambulance come out of Pinedale, or do they have one that's parked up there in Bondurant?
Well, actually, they've got a group of first responders that are up there that have been trained by the EMS, some of the county EMS services here, and there are people that are there to respond immediately.
So they don't have to wait for somebody to come up and find
them? No. Now, the ambulance they would have to wait for, but they've got people there that are trained.
So in other words, the fire department, for example, right, those people are double duty, firefighters and first responders.
It's a very common model around the country, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so nothing on the drawing board to build a hospital next week?
No, although, I can tell you, Bob, if the population continues to grow like it has done over the last 2 years, and there's, you know this as well as I do, that there are different camps about that, that this place really, the feasibility study that was done 4 years ago by the healthcare district, shows that if we have a base population between 11 and 15,000 people that are here and living and working, then it's feasible to do a small, either critical access hospital or a small number of beds with swing beds hospital. That's, we're rapidly coming up on that from the demographic projections that I have seen.
Well, at the healthcare coalition meeting, I heard a lot of people say, if I have to have my gallbladder removed, I'm not sure I want it done in a hospital in Pinedale where the surgeon there hasn't removed the gallbladder for 3 years. I probably want to go to a hospital where a surgeon does a couple gallbladders a week. And so I would think that even if we had a hospital, a lot of people for scheduled surgery are going to want to go to somebody who is a specialist in that particular operation. And just my gut feeling is what the people are really asking for is when somebody breaks a leg or when somebody has a trauma situation or you have a quickly arising internal medical problem that just crept up on you and you didn't have 3 weeks to schedule an appointment ahead of time, can we go to a place, receive immediate care, and if we have to stay for half the night, there's a facility to stay there. I assume that's different than a hospital, right?
It is, and there are those facilities that are designed specifically for that.
Now, what is it that I'm describing? What is that called?
Well, we're getting dangerously close to the edge of my knowledge, but probably a medical assist facility. Something I've had some conversations with some of the providers here in the county about that particular model. But I really hesitate to say anything because I really don't know an awful lot about it. I haven't done a lot of research on it.
But that's just based on what I'm hearing as an observer. I'm hearing that might be what people want more than a full-blown hospital.
Maybe.
They want something that is staffed and not extended care surgery, but something where all of these things have come up in the middle of the night, come up on the weekend, if there's somebody to take care of.
For short term, you might be right, but I think I might want to just slightly disagree with the characterization of having a surgeon who only does a gallbladder now and again. If we did have that surgical facility here, there are a lot of people, Bob, there are a lot, who go out of county for their health care. They do that probably right now because of the perceived instability in the system. And one of the things that we are working on right now is to get rid of that perception of that instability and bring those people home. They will come here. They will have the doctors see them. Quite frankly, if we had that facility here, I'll bet you that person will be taken out more in just a couple of months.
Well, one of the things that came up at that healthcare coalition meeting were people saying that they really have a problem with going up and seeing Rent-A-Doc A this week, Rent-A-Doc B next week, and Rent-A-Doc C next week, and is there any way they could see the same doctor 3 weeks in a row? And I assume you've heard that before.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's one of the major themes when people are talking with us about what's going on around here. To explain that, basically we have they're called locums, locum tenens. They're essentially temporary doctors that come to serve either when we don't have enough people to handle the volume, or when somebody has either gone on vacation or they're out doing their continuing medical education units or whatever it might be that takes them out of the practice. We have had to rely on locums, quite frankly. One of the things that you mentioned a moment ago was the call volume. Call volume continues to increase in this county. The EMS numbers show that very clearly, as well as anybody who has been called out in the middle of the night. You can talk to them about it. And we've had to supplement that with the locum doctors. One of the things that is one of our top priorities right now is getting, recruiting for people who will come here, live here, stay here, work here.
Okay, well, let me let you wrap it up here. I appreciate that. I think you've answered a lot of questions. They shed a lot of light on things. Let me let you close things out and
I think if there's a message, Bob, it's twofold. First of all, grateful for the coalition and for the effort that Cindy and the group is making. Very proud of that, be a part of that, and facilitate their agenda. But the other thing that I want to be very careful of is Kip Boone is someone who brings a tremendous amount of resources here. But we have to be careful not to set up any expectations that might be unrealistic. All of the problems that we're dealing with right now are not going to be solved in the first 3 weeks when he walks through the door. And so we ought to think in terms of what is the district going to look like a year from now? What's going to look like 2 years from now? How are we going to when you and I come back together at that point and we start talking about what progress have you made since we talked last February? That's when we need to be, that's our horizon line, basically, and not be setting things up for unrealistic expectations.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Randy Johnson, the executive director of the health care board here in Salt Lake County. Let's give your phone number one more time.
Thanks, Bob. 367-2099. That's the office. You can get me most of the days, 8-5.
And I'd also think that somebody that has a concern that maybe isn't quite ready to march in and appear before the board can certainly give you a call and you can take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I could probably give email as well. That'd be appropriate. Randy J, RANDYJ at Wyoming.com.
Randy J at Wyoming.com. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Randy, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Bob.
Taking all these questions and come back again. We appreciate having you anytime you can come up. And remember, you can go to www.wyoming.com. No, start over again. Start over again. That's wrong. www.pinedaleonline.com. Don Ballew does keep a running roster there of these events coming up. She'll have the Sublette County Rural Healthcare District meetings posted. She'll have the Healthcare Coalition meetings posted. That's a good place to go and just get all these time dates and places, because we often tend to forget. But PineDaleOnline.com, there's a shortcut to get there, too. www.pinedale.com takes you to the same place. So go there, check it out, and attend some of these meetings. All right, thank you, Randy. And we're back to music now on KPIN Radio.